Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Rashi podcast for Parashat Bereshit. Visit www.webyeshiva.org for more information on our fully interactive online yeshiva. Welcome, this is our first podcast in this new series on Rashi, in which we will examine each week a single Rashi from that week's Parashat HaShavua. Now, while each Rashi will bring with it its own unique set of questions, there are a number of questions which are going to come up repeatedly throughout the series. And so I thought that I would give you a sense of the types of things that we will be looking at. For example, what is the relationship between what Rashi says, his commentary, and the pshat of the pasuk? Another example, what is Rashi's source? And where does he get his idea from? We know that Rashi very often quotes from the Midrash and the Gemara, so where is Rashi bringing this his particular idea from? When he quotes from other sources, is he quoting it exactly, or does he make changes? And if he makes changes, then why? Often Rashi brings more than one interpretation, and so in those cases we will try to understand each of the interpretations and try to understand why he felt it was necessary to bring more than one. And of course, finally, we're going to try to understand what Rashi's message is. Ultimately, Rashi is trying to explain the meaning of the pasuk, meaning he's trying to understand what the pasuk is really telling us, what the message of the pasuk is, and so we're going to try to get an understanding of what that is, right? What Rashi believes is the message of the pasuk. For this week's Rashi, I take you to Bereshit, Perek Bet Pasuk He. This pasuk is part of the description of Briat HaOlam, the creation of the world, where after the familiar day-by-day description of what Hashem created on each day, which occurs in Perek Aleph, the Torah then goes back and describes again certain portions of the creation in more detail or from a different perspective. So the pasuk that we're about to look at is a pasuk which introduces the creation of humankind, of people, of Adam HaRishon, which will occur a couple of psukim later. This is all kind of like the background, the introduction to the creation of man. Right, so again, Perek Bet Pasuk He. V'chol siach ha-sadeh terem yiyeh v'aretz, v'chol esef ha-sadeh terem yitzmach, ki lo himtir Adonai Elohim al ha-aretz, ve'adam ayin la'avod et ha-adama. No bush of the field was yet on earth, no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not made it rain upon earth, and there was no human to till the soil. The pasuk describes the state of the world, you know, way back when, at the very beginning, when there was not even anything growing from the land. Right? There were no plants, nothing was sprouting up on the earth. According to Rashi's commentary, just prior to the Rashi that we are going to study today, he says that these things had already been created. Plants had already been created on, Yom HaShlishi, the third day of creation, but these were all kind of waiting beneath the surface of the earth to sprout up, but nothing had actually begun to grow yet. And the Torah states reasons why this is so. And from an initial reading of the pasuk, the Torah seems to be giving two reasons why these plants have not yet started to grow. Reason number one, Ki lo himtir Hashem Elohim al ha'aretz. Right, God had not yet made it rain on earth. Right? And since there was no rain, there were no plants. Reason number two, ve'adam ayin la'avod et ha'adama. Because there was no person, there were no human beings to work the land. And without such human beings, plants could not grow. Or one could possibly say, without human beings, there was no need for plants to grow. Well, the simplest understanding seems to be that without man there to work the land, certain plants anyway were not going to sprout up. This might depend on how you understand what Siach HaSadeh and Esen HaSadeh are, something which we don't have time to go into depth right now. Right, but these seem to be the two reasons stated by the Torah why plants had not yet grown. And they seem to be two separate reasons. Right, reason number one, there is no rain. Reason number two, there are no people. Rashi, however, sees things differently. Umaitam Elohim Tir, Lefisha Adam Ayn Lavodata Adama. The Ain Makirbitovatan Shel Gishamim. And what was the reason that he, Hashem, had not made it rain? That there was no man to work the land, and no one to recognize the goodness of rain. Uchasheba Adam Viyada Shehem Tzorech Leolam Hitzpalel Alehem Viyardu Viyardu Vitzamchu Ha'ilanot V'Hadsha'im. And when man came, he knew that they were a necessity for the world, meaning that rain was a necessity for the world. He prayed for them, and they came down, and the trees and the plants sprouted. Now the source for Rashi's comment is the Gemara Masechet Chulin, Daf Samech Amud Bet, which says, after asking the question, which I alluded to briefly before, if the plants were created on the third day of creation, how come here, later, it seems, they had not yet grown? Milamed, Shiyatsu Desha'im V'amdu Al Petach Karka, right, this also Rashi quotes earlier in the commentary, that the plants were kind of waiting below the surface of the ground. Ad Sheba Adam HaRishon U'bikesh Aleihem Rachamim. Right until the first man came along and prayed for compassion for them. V'yardu G'shamim V'tzamchu. Right, and then the rain came down and they sprouted. L'lamdecha, to teach us, Shehakadosh Baruch Hu mit'aveh l'tfilatan shel tzadikim. Right, this teaches that Hashem desires the tefillot of the righteous. According to Rashi, contrary to the initial reading that we gave the Pasuk, rain and human beings were not two independent factors necessary for the land to give forth vegetation. Rather, the onset of the rain was dependent upon the existence of mankind, who needed the rain, and could appreciate its importance and its inherent goodness. It is as if only a feeling of lack and an articulation of need could serve as a receptor for this gift from Hashem. And only that could precipitate the onset of the rain. And given the context of this Pasuk, right, which I'll remind you is an introduction to the creation of man, which happens a couple of Pasukim later, the ongoing conversation between man and God, which is initiated here, according to Rashi, by mankind's ability to respond to a need by turning to Hashem with tefillah, is what Rashi seems to be suggesting is the whole purpose of the creation of mankind, or at the very least something which is necessary for the creation and the ongoing existence of mankind. Now I want to go back and see what exactly Rashi has done here. The first question is, what gives Rashi the right to read the Pasuk the way that he did, right? We said that an initial reading of the Pasuk, when you first look at it, it seems that the Torah is giving two reasons for the lack of plants on earth, right? Is there something in the Pasuk which allows, from a purely grammatical point of view, Rashi to read the Pasuk in the way that he did? And indeed there is. For even though we generally understand the letter, the word v' in Hebrew as and, the truth is that it has many more subtle meanings, one of which Rashi employs in his understanding of this Pasuk. Sometimes v' means not and, but rather introduces a statement of condition, meaning you have an initial statement in the sentence, and then the V introduces something else, which is the condition of that original statement. Right? So for example, here in our Pasuk, the V would be introducing the condition for that which came before the V. Right? More specifically in our Pasuk, there were no plants on earth, because ki Lohim Tir Hashem Elohim Al Ha'aretz. There, right, since or seeing Adam Ayin Lavo Latam Zama, right, there was no man to work the land, right. So that there really is a grammatical basis for Rashi's reading of the pasuk here. But clearly, Rashi is not only explaining the grammar, although we see that we just saw that his comment is planted firmly. No pardon the pun, in sound grammatical rules, but he is also trying to understand the meaning, the significance of what these words are. And that is where he turns to the Gemara. And he explains why it is that it was necessary for there to be humankind before Hashem would bring the rain. And that is that man had to recognize that the rain was necessary for the world, to pray for the rain, and then, and only then, Hashem would bring the rain. Now, it's interesting to note, I don't know if you noticed this, that this Rashi source, the Gemara, says something a little bit different from what Rashi himself said. And according to Rashi, again, there was no one to recognize the goodness of rain. Man came, saw that the rain was necessary for the world, prayed for rain, and the rain came down, and the trees and the plants sprouted. The Gemara seems to be saying something slightly different. In the Gemara, the plants are waiting under the crust of the earth. Adam HaRishon comes, Bikesh Alehem Rachamim, right? It seems to be saying that Adam HaRishon prayed not for rain, but prayed for compassion for the plants. Now clearly these two things are related, right? But it's important to see that the plants are the focus of the tefillah in the Gemara, not the rain. Then, as a result of his asking for compassion for the plants, the rain came down and the plants sprouted. Rashi moves the focus from the plants to the rain. Significantly, if you look at the Gemara and Rashi are addressing, actually, two different parts of the Pasuk. The snippet of Pasuk that the Gemara is referring to, is explaining, is V'chol siyach hasadet teremiyah v'aretz, right? Why is it that these plants have not yet grown? And then he goes on to explain that that Hashem was waiting for Adam HaRishon to pray for compassion for those plants. In Rashi, however, he transfers this idea in the Gemara to a different part of the Pasuk. He isn't addressing directly why the plants haven't grown, but rather, Umaitama Lohim Tir, right? Why is there not yet rain? Right, so Rashi isn't directly addressing the question of why the plants haven't grown, although obviously there's a chain effect here. He is addressing more directly, right, why the rain has not yet fallen. Right, and the answer is that Hashem was waiting for Adam HaRishon to pray for the rain. Right, so very subtly Rashi has shifted the focus of the tefillah from the plants to the rain. It would seem that at least in part, Rashi is doing this, again, because his goal is to explain the grammar of the Pasuk. In the Pasuk itself, as we saw, there is grammatically a connection, at least according to the Rashi reads the Pasuk, between the lack of man and the lack of rain. And so Rashi is trying to understand the structure of the Pasuk, the meaning of the words of the Pasuk, in the order that they appear. So he utilizes the existing Midrash, but he changes it ever so slightly so that he can use it in order to understand the structure of the Pasuk. This, incidentally, is something which Rashi himself explicitly states as his goal in his commentary. Right? Elsewhere in the commentary, in a few places, he mentions there are many Midrashei Agadah, right, that explain Psukim. And I am coming, Rashi says, to explain the Psukim, parentheses, using Midrashei Agadah, but according to the order and the meaning of the words themselves. Meaning, I, Rashi, I'm not going to bring in a Midrash out of nowhere and plunk it down and impose it upon the Pasuk. Rather, I will use the Midrashim in order to explain the Psukim as they appear. Meaning, I will not force it into the words. I will try my best to, Rashi says, to explain the Pasuk the way that the Pasuk appears, meaning I will use the Midrashim which best fit the words as the words are in the Torah, right? And so that seems what Rashi is, exactly what Rashi is doing here. He takes this Gemara, which addresses a different part of the Pasuk, and he uses it to explain the part of the Pasuk where he believes it fits in better, grammatically speaking, and in terms of the ordering and the meaning of the Pasuk itself. I think it's also important to note that beyond the grammatical goal of Rashi here, that shifting the prayer to focus on the rain opens up a whole slew of associations of rain and prayer and the relationship between man, God, and rain which exists throughout the Torah. We don't have time in the context of this podcast to go into this in depth, but within the more narrow story of the creation of the world, we have the transfer of Adam and Chava from Gan Eden, which we know was watered by rivers and not by rain, to the world, the real world outside of Gan Eden, where Adam HaRishon had to work the land, right? And where it's not mentioned explicitly there, but where the working of the land, well, this is mentioned explicitly, the working of the land is a difficult thing, which Adam HaRishon has to work very hard for, and this is connected perhaps to the rain, which Adam HaRishon will have to continue to pray for in order to be able to live, as opposed to his existence in Gan Eden, where the water just kind of was there at all times. This thematically is connected, of course, later on in the Torah, to the differences between, for example, Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael, whereas in Mitzrayim you have the Nile, which is always there, and that is the way that they would water their crops in Mitzrayim. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to pray for rain. Right? This is a theme that comes up in Sefer Devarim. Right, lo ke'eretz Mitzrayim. Eretz Yisrael is not like Eretz Mitzrayim. Here you have to pray for rain, and that's where the themes of in Kriyat Shema about praying for the rain, getting rain in the proper time, if you follow Hashem, etc., are all based on. So by making this prayer, this first prayer of Adam Rishon connected specifically to the rain, Rashi is associating the purpose of the creation of man to this theme that runs throughout the entire Torah, and which is a central theme in terms of the theology and the relationship between man and God that the Torah is trying to establish. That being said, it's important also to understand the midrash upon which Rashi is built, upon which Rashi builds his commentary, because although he does this subtle change, he no doubt was familiar with the Midrash itself and the meaning of the Midrash itself, and undoubtedly this was also part of his understanding of the Pasuk in general. And with this I return briefly to the idea of V'chol Siach HaSadeh Terem Yihyeh Ba'aretz, right? That the plants, the Siach of the field, had not yet sprouted, which again is the phrase which the Gemara upon which the Gemara pins its comment, which Rashi borrows for his commentary. A related midrash in Bereshit Rabbah plays with the word siach. Kol sichatan shel briot eina ela al haaretz. In the context of a larger midrash, right, the midrash on this pasuk, the midrash is saying all of the sicha of Bnei Adam is about the aretz. Right, sicha here meaning not conversation, but sicha in the broader sense of tefillah, or more specific sense of tefillah. Right, all the tefillot, all of the prayers of men are about the land. Meaning, what is it that people are preoccupied with the land, with their ability to work the land and have parnasa? That is what preoccupies people. That is what brings them to prayer. Okay, and it's important to note that the word sicha, in midrash or in commentary, as pshat in certain cases, often refers to prayer. Right, the most obvious example from Tehillim, "Lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho." So the primary prayer of man, the midrash is suggesting, is quite literally the siach hasadeh, right? The prayer which relates to the field, right? The source of sustenance. So back to Rashi's commentary. Back then, not only was there not rain, and nor were there people to work the land to enable the produce of the field to grow, but the essential component of siach hasadeh, the prayer of the field, was not yet on earth, right? Because of the absence of man. I think, of course, it's important to note in this context another pasuk, which talks about sicha, or siach, plants or tefillah, depending on how one interprets it, in Bereshit Kaf Dalid, Pasuk Samech Gimel, in Parashat Chayisera, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh Lifnot Arev. Right, Yitzchak goes out, Lasuach Basadeh. Note the similarity between Siach Hasadeh and Lasuach Basadeh. Many different interpretations are given to those words. According to Rashi, however, who, after all, is the subject of our podcast, Lasuach Basadeh, Litpalel Basadeh. He says, Lashon Tfila, Kemo, Yishbach Sicho. Right? So the image that Rashi conjures up of Yitzchak here is of a man who is praying out in the field. Other commentaries understand Lasuach from Lashon Siach, right? Planting out in the field. But once again, you see in the commentaries the play between the siach and the sicha, the plants and the prayer. Here it's particularly nice because of the similarity between lasuach basadeh and the siach hasadeh of our pasuk in Reshit Perek Bet. And incidentally, of course, that pasuk about Yitzhak is the pasuk which the Gemara upon which the Gemara bases the establishment of the tefillah of Mincha. Basuach Basadeh is when Yitzchak established the prayer of Mincha. So even though Rashi comes to explain the end of the pasuk, meaning the connection between the lack of human beings and the lack of rain, there is no question that all of this meaning of the word siach, which is alluded to in the Midrash, is also hovering behind Rashi's commentary. Right? He is fully aware, of course, of this play between siach and sicha, plants and prayer, and the need for human beings to pray for their sustenance in order to survive. Right? He simply transfers it over in order to understand the pasuk, and also, as I mentioned earlier, because of the importance of the idea of praying specifically for rain, in the Torah. One last comment before we end for today. I think it's nice to note that while the Siach HaSadeh is by its nature, as it's described by Rashi, an outpouring of inner feelings, Rashi hints that it must not become an exercise in self-involvement. What do I need? Right, me, me, me. Right, rather, Rashi describes, right, that Adam HaRishon came along and prayed for the rain, not because of himself, but because it was a necessity for the world. The Yadashim Tzorech Laolam. As the Pasuk hints, the Adam is part of the Adama. Man, each individual person, is connected to the entire earth. And so this must color this conversation, this sikha of the Sadeh between man and God, so that we pray not only for things that are for ourselves, but also that for that which is needed by others. Right? This is the reason that we were created, Rashi seems to be hinting. Every year it always seems timely to me that this Rashi comes out in the parasha, which we read right after we begin to say that Mashiva Ruach Umorid HaGashem. This is exactly the moment in the year where we are preoccupied with the prayer for rain. So perhaps this Rashi will inspire us to say those words with a little more conviction, and to pray for this thing, which is really a tzorech le'olam. Shabbat shalom u'mevorach.